Welcome to War Room, the official podcast of the U.S. Army War College online journal, graciously supported by the Army War College Foundation. Please join the conversation at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. We hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, and welcome to the War Room podcast. I'm Jacqueline Witt, Professor of Strategy and the War Room podcast editor, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today. To start us off, I want you to think back to the various classroom and training settings that you've been in the past. Perhaps you imagine a large lecture hall in college, or perhaps you recall a smaller seminar, perhaps the War College, where discussion was the norm. Or maybe you remember group work, or a tabletop exercise, or even a terrible online training module. And perhaps some of those are good memories, things that have stuck with you or really challenged you to think in a new way. But sometimes I think there's a mismatch between what's being taught, what's being learned, and how all of that takes place. So today we want to explore a particular method of teaching and training that is specifically designed to overcome barriers of traditional classroom settings and to immerse students in critical thinking and creative problem solving. That is, to use case studies, role playing, and simulations. So here to talk about this pedagogical technique and to help us think about how writing and using cases can enhance our teaching, training, and thinking is Dr. Volker Franke. He is professor of conflict management at Kennesaw State University and the founding director of KSU's PhD program in international conflict management. Dr. Franke is also founder and chairman of Trends Global, an Atlanta area-based nonprofit dedicated to research and engagement in diverse communities. Currently, Dr. Franke is also part-time visiting professor with the Peacekeeping and Stability Operations Institute here at the U.S. Army War College. So, Dr. Franke, welcome to the War Room.
Hi, Jackie. I'm happy to be here.
Great. I'm very happy to have you on the podcast today. So I'm going to start with what I think is a pretty basic question, at least I hope it is, which is, what do you mean by a case, and where does what we call the case study method come from?
Well, the case studies, the way I am envisioning them, are different from what we consider sort of a historical case. The case method, the way I use it, was developed about 100 years ago at the Harvard Business School. You may have heard of Harvard Business School cases, where there were no textbooks at that time. And professors sent their graduate students out to interview business people to figure out what they did to make a business successful. They recorded those lessons learned and made them into case studies and used them for teaching. That's the method that we're using here in our case approach, where we're looking at short teachable cases that present both sides or more sides to one story, but also depict dilemmas and let the students or the readers struggle a little bit with the decision that or the decisions that the different actors had to make.
Okay, so that seems like cases are built, right, to teach specific ideas or specific content, but also that they're involved in sort of creative thinking about how decision makers operate, like the environment that they're in. Are cases always built around stories? That seems like like the stories maybe have beginnings, middles, and ends, and that might be part of this as well.
Yes, I like to actually start all the cases with a story because a story provides a hook. It gets readers interested. It gets students interested. It breaks down more complicated theoretical concepts into something that is relatable to individuals. Oftentimes, I use cases also with my graduate students. The biggest issue that we often have is to come up with the question that we want to research. And so oftentimes I tell my students when they're struggling with it, can you think of a story? Can you tell a story that illustrates what it is you'd like to do? And in that way, we're looking at a story to introduce a dilemma. But then from that dilemma in the story, we can look at larger policy implications, the larger dilemmas. So you're quite right. It usually is the story revolves around one context, but oftentimes we can take the lessons learned more generally and apply it to different contexts.
Okay,
so the cases we develop can work in a multitude of classroom settings.
No, I think that's really interesting because even if you have an intent to learn about one thing or to do one thing, it seems like this sort of teaching or practice that could sort of bloom or blossom into many things and go in unexpected directions, perhaps, than what the maybe initial intent for someone writing a case might have been.
Absolutely. And oftentimes the beauty of, from an instructor's perspective in using case studies is the students in the classroom work with the material. And every single time you teach it, they work differently with it. When I assign an academic article, the conversation is oftentimes the same. Every year with the same article, it's very predictable. Here, the students take it to what they think is important, and the role of the instructor is basically just facilitating the conversation. And I oftentimes don't have to prompt with additional questions. It just takes on a life on its own, and it always is different depending on the dynamics of the classroom.
Sure. Well, this leads me to another question that I had, which is, if you present cases as an alternative sort of model for teaching some material for engaging students, what do you think are the shortcomings or the problems with more traditional classroom approaches, be that lecture or even a seminar discussion, that cases can help remedy?
That's a very good question. Typically, when what we do is we assign articles to our students, or we assign a book or a monograph of sorts. And often, most often, these monographs present a particular argument. The author is making an argument, providing a thesis, and then writing 20, 200 pages, however long it is, convincing the reader of the legitimacy of the argument and the findings. Cases are very different. Cases don't have an argument. Cases present all sides to a story, all sides to a dilemma, but not providing answers. So the best thing that we do with traditional academic articles, best we can do in an academic classroom setting, is ask our students whether they agree or disagree with the author's argument. That provides a good rational intellectual conversation about the content of the article. Mm-hmm. If we use a case study, the connection is much deeper. There's an emotional connection to the actors. There is no clear argument. There is no one right or correct position. What the cases do is they give readers a window inside the head of the different actors, and they can associate with the actors and can struggle maybe a little bit with the decisions the actors had to make. So it is really, it picks them up at a deeper emotional, effectual level, whereas a traditional academic paper simply presents an argument.
Right, and with an academic paper, you might get opposing arguments or opposing viewpoints, but you're still in this mode of sort of analysis and testing evidence and things like that. And so this seems to be a different mode of thinking that you're encouraging. In what classroom environments have you used cases in, or is it useful all over?
It is useful all over, okay. I would say. I've used it with undergraduate students and graduate students in traditional academic classes. We've used it in training. We've used it here at the Army War College. I've done several seminars where I instruct in the case methodology, and I've had a number of one example, if I may
sure,
use that in the last seminar that I taught, one of the colleagues after day one had a completely different idea of what a case study is, thinking about cases in terms of what we consider a historical case. Well, he that evening after the first day of the seminar led a film discussion. And after he now learned how to use cases in the classroom, he changed how he conducted the film discussion afterwards. Different questions, engaging the students a little bit differently. And what he said afterwards the next day, he said, "I've never had a discussion like this, because 20 minutes after the end of the session, I was leaving and there were still the students outside discussing the film."
Mm-hmm. That's the teacher's greatest desire, right? Is that you can throw something out and students take it and run with it, and they continue the conversation even after you're out of the classroom, whether that's in the hallway or online, that's a win.
Oh, right? that's why we do it. Yes, and this doesn't show up in teaching evaluations, but you see right. it and you know it, and that's when this works.
Great. Can you maybe walk us through an example of what a case might look like? With content, you can pick the content, right? But in a War College environment or with these senior colonels and advisors, what might a case look like for them?
Yeah, be happy to do so. I use in my training a case that I wrote now maybe 7-8 years ago on private security contractors. So the case starts with the story of the Nisar Square shooting where a number of Blackwater security guards shot at a civilian vehicle and killed the people who were in the vehicle. They were later on tried in court, in American court, and were actually put in jail. That's the story, the hook that mm-hmm. the case starts with. And so in the case, it's about a 20-page long case, we unfold a number of dilemmas. An outsourcing dilemma, when should we outsource, what function should be outsourced, a national security dilemma, what are we doing with private security contractors, to what extent do we need to share intelligence information with them, and how does that undermine the mission, to what extent can we rely on security contractors the same way we rely on military personnel. If a security contractor says, no, this is too dangerous for me, I'm leaving, I'm turning around, I'm going home, they can do that.
Military cannot
do it, exactly. So that's the case. And so what I've done then is, the way I teach it is, I always ask the same questions every single case that I teach. And a case could be, this is what I would call an academic case, it could be a decision-forcing case, it could be a film or a part of a film, it could be a book, it could be an article, it could be a picture. But the questions are always the same. The first question I always ask is, so what is this case about? What is the story? Second question I ask is, who are the actors? And so then we're putting this on the board and we're developing an actor's map of the key actors. In this particular case, I then stop and I assign students to the different actors as roles.
Mm-hmm.
So a student may become a representative for the Department of Defense, or a security contractor, or a Republican member of Congress. Then I show them a video, about 7-8 minute video, on a security contractor driving through the streets of Baghdad. But I ask them to watch that video in role.
Okay.
And afterwards, we have a conversation, and I ask them to respond to the video in role.
So to take on...
to take on the role of one of the actors.
Of their actor.
And now respond to what they saw out in that role. And it's quite remarkable. They're paying different attention to the mm-hmm. video. They're actually paying attention, but they're focusing really on, how would I feel if I was that person? And the responses that I'm getting are very different, because what we're now doing is we're closing distance between the topic, the case, the scenario, and the reader. We're creating empathy for the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And what I get is, and oftentimes they're responding, and I'm getting a back and forth conversation between these students in actor roles that I don't have to do much for. Sometimes they yell at each other. Sometimes they're mad because they're emotionally involved in what they
right.
saw. Now, then I bring it back and we have a discussion about the rest of the case and all these dilemmas. But what has happened is, because the emotional connection is established, the students remember more.
Okay.
It opens their mind to a different kind of conversation. They also now have get better understanding for the positions that different
right.
actors are taking.
And it sounds like a great way to deal with and introduce the idea of complexity, that so few things in our world are simple and black and white,
right.
even when we want them very badly to be.
Yeah.
That developing that empathy, the perspective taking that comes with taking on a different role or different persona, is so important. Even if you think that ultimately that perspective is not a very reasonable one, or a good one to take, or an ethical one, or a moral one, or whatever.
But you've struggled with
it. But you have to you have to deal with it, right?
Exactly.
You have to confront it in meaningful ways rather than sort of surface level ways where you can just discount something because you don't agree with it or don't like it.
Even though we it will never be like reality, but it approximates reality more than does a simple article that talks about security contractors in Iraq, say, for instance.
Do you find that students have difficulty assuming roles that seem very foreign or just distant from their own? Can they put themselves into the shoes of a Republican member of Congress or into the shoes of, say, an Iraqi civilian? Or do they need some coaching and training in how to do that?
It depends on your classroom context, obviously. I think a case does not exist on its own in a classroom setting. You put it somewhere in the syllabus, and it's strategically placed in the syllabus. So the students will have had instruction before, several lessons before the case is introduced. They will have done particular readings before the case is introduced that frames how they're responding to the case. That might be then sufficient already. In terms of, yes, some students have difficulty adopting a role that is not their role, a position that they usually wouldn't agree with. But I have to tell you, in order for you to make a compelling argument, we learned this in middle school, you have to be able to refute another person's argument. And so stepping inside of those shoes, gaining empathy, trying to make an argument that is not necessarily your own position, makes you a better discussant. It makes you reflect more critically. And I think if you want to then build an argument, it makes a stronger argument on your side.
Great. So when we think about how, so a lot of our listeners maybe are within the professional military education system, or they're in the national security arena sort of broadly, but there are also going to be folks, and our students are examples of this, who are going to go on to be advisors to senior leaders or commanders themselves, who are responsible for training or for leading teams. Can you give us some insight in how different people might use cases, maybe outside of a traditional classroom setting?
Yeah, absolutely. Think about, you bring together a number of people in a work group or in a training session. They all have very different experiences. And if you now start talking about concepts, reconciliation, transitional justice, governance, whatever those concepts might be, and you start a discussion, everybody will discuss it based on the frame that they're bringing.
Right.
If we can use a case study, a simple scenario, to have everybody apply their experience to the same scenario, that focuses the discussion. Then you talk about how does your experience, and later on you talk about how the experience that they have impacts how they applied it in the case, but everybody has that same experience, even if it's only a 10 or a 15 minute or 30 minute discussion of a scenario. It allows us to focus the experiences that we bring to something that is shared, which provides a much better, much more productive discussion than it would if we just simply talk from our experiences, but there's nothing connecting those experiences.
No, that seems really interesting. It strikes me too, as I'm listening to you talk, that cases could also be really useful avenues to talk about difficult material, difficult subject matter that maybe does have highly emotional connections, where people have personal experiences and wildly different viewpoints, but pulling it into a case where there's a shared body of knowledge, where there's a shared set of things to work from, it actually can serve to maybe, in this case, create a little bit of emotional distance between one's own personal experience and the subject at hand too.
Well, you have to be careful, just like you do in any class, when you discuss sensitive topics, that could reintroduce trauma for some people. We have developed a number of cases that are gender-based sexual violence or conflict-based sexual violence cases or child soldier cases,
right,
that could easily reintroduce trauma. So you have to know a little bit who your audience is.
Sure.
But I'll give you an example for a case that a colleague in Africa developed. It's three scenarios. The case consists of three scenarios. It's all about rape as a weapon of war. And so the first scenario is the woman's perspective, who is raped. Her husband is there multiple times, maybe about two paragraphs. So we learn about her, and we are emotionally involved with her. And it's very and the second scenario is the view from the husband, mm-hmm, how he experienced this. And he couldn't do anything, and he feels terrible, but he can't, in the local context, he can't take his wife back afterwards. The third perspective is that of the rapist. And you see the group pressures, you see the use of drugs, the fear that they're going to lose their lives. And what you do is you gain sort of a little bit of an understanding of where the different actors are coming from. It is very difficult to find, we can't condone, obviously, violence, but it's easy to simply take the side of the woman only when we look at something like, mm-hmm, rape in an academic article. This way provides you with background that gives you more basis for reflection. Still doesn't change the outcome,
right?
But at least it you're gaining some empathy. This is not simply, it's a more complex subject than we would think if we're simply reading an article that makes a clear, one-sided argument. Mm-hmm.
And the complexities are important in terms of how you respond, right? To whether that's war crimes or atrocities or all sorts of things. The complexities make a big difference, and so I think that's a really valuable example, and it's also one where you can see, like you said, the importance of knowing your context and knowing the students or the group that you're teaching or training is also obviously very very important, and you would want to prep that discussion carefully, right, rather than just sort of dropping it at the, you know, without warning or without any sort of context.
Yeah, exactly. Needs a little bit of preparation, but cases could be very small, simple vignettes that are half a page, what I just described. They could be simulation exercises that can go on for, you know, a day or 3 days. All of these are cases. Everybody can use cases. We used to, before we had the internet, we used to bring in clip newspaper articles and take them to class and have students read an article and then respond. Well, a case is basically that. When you really, the importance is it allows us to look at dilemmas. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. That's what our students should learn. They should learn how to solve dilemmas. That's part of critical thinking. In an academic article, what we see is the dilemma has been solved by the author.
By someone else.
Right. The author does and then convinces us that that's the right solution.
The author has found the dilemma.
Precisely.
And then there.
And solved it. Here, what we're doing is we're trying to raise the dilemmas, but have the students struggle with them, so they have to come up with an answer. And there is no right answer. And there are multiple answers. And these answers have, each one has different implications. That's what we're trying to get to, that the students realize that's what life, that's the complexity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that an officer is better prepared to go into a new situation having gone through this, understanding that it's complex, but not understanding it only intellectually, but also having experienced it a little bit through case studies or a role play exercise.
Great. No, I think this has been a really enlightening conversation for me. I'm already thinking about ways that I can incorporate sort of this case study method into the classes I teach. I do it sometimes naturally, just because it seems to be what the lesson calls for. But I think there's lots of opportunities that we can use in the classroom and out in training environments and teaching environments all over to do this. To close out, can you let our listeners know where they can maybe go find more information if they've been interested in something that you've said today or something that you've said has sparked an interest? Where might they go to find out more?
Oh, we're running developing a case program right now at PKSOI. It's on the PKSOI website under resources. It's the PKSOI Trends Global Case Series. Anybody can click on it. The case studies are available. Every single case study that we develop is developed with teaching notes. And so instructors can take this off the shelf, and there are some ideas for how to teach the case are in the teaching notes.
That's great.
There are some learning objectives with the case. There are some background on the conceptual ideas that underlie the case. The case studies themselves are online and check frequently because we update the website. The teaching notes are not, but we're happy to send them out to any instructors. We don't want the students to see the teaching notes for obvious reasons. But all of this is available. There are a number of other, the Maxwell School at Syracuse University has a case program. The Institute for the Study of Diplomacy at Georgetown University has a case study program. Those two are probably the ones that I would also direct people to. And those are all developed based on the Harvard Business School case model.
Great. I think that's very helpful. I think that's reassuring to know that there are lots of people out there who are writing cases and who are working on cases for use in classrooms in particular. So if someone wants to give it a try, they're not on their own. They're not sort of jumping off without a support system.
And we're running case writing workshops all the time. So this is also something, check the PKSO website when the next time is that we're running case workshops.
Excellent. So lots of resources out there, lots of possibilities for innovative and creative teaching and really engaging students or engaging trainees or even a unit. I could imagine doing something like this for part of their unit training. Thank you, Volker, for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. This is Jackie Witt. I'm signing off for the War Room.
Thank you, Jackie.
And that concludes our program. Thank you for listening. The views expressed in this podcast reflect those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views, policies, or positions of the U.S. Army or the Department of Defense. Let us know what you think. Provide us your feedback, comments, or suggestions through our webpage at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. And have a great day.